If you could repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
And my heart is perceiving.
You have a plan for me.
You have a plan for me.
And this word.
And this word.
I pray will awaken me.
In Jesus' name,
I pray. If you can snap on that light back there, that would be helpful. If you have your Bible, I want to take you to John chapter 6. And this came during the night, last night, not Saturday, Friday. And what I was pressed to, let's say, qualify was the reality of Jesus and declaring who he is in the form of bread and wine. So there's a lot of controversy that is out there about how and which way do I believe, so on and so forth, how to prepare myself and all that good stuff. And, you know, I said to the Lord, this is the days of awe. And awe can be awesome, or it could be awkward. It could be depressing. It could be any one of those. And I've tasted a few. Because again, you're preparing your heart for the Day of Atonement. Now, the Day of Atonement happens to be celebrated next Wednesday. This coming Wednesday night. If you were in the days of Jesus, it would be compulsory. We're not talking about compulsory. We're talking about a day of obedience. What does that mean? It means to obey the Lord as to what he calls you or me to not only do, but maybe humbling yourself would be a good place where letting him download what he wants to download into you. So this particular scripture, years ago, showed me from my denominational background what actually happens when you take the bread and wine. It was a personal thing. It was something that God did for me, and he's no respecter of persons. He'll download what you need as you need it. Because again, he's working on every single one of us, tailor-made for the need. You see, in verse 35, Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. Now you got to remember, he is declaring this to people who know the word. Okay? He's not declaring this to shepherds taking care of sheep. All that the Father gives me will come to me. So there are some that are chosen, some that are called, some that are going to go higher, and some are going to be satisfied wherever they're at. And he's not going to argue with you. He's going to go according to what Papa has already scheduled. Okay? I will never drive away, meaning he's never going to reject you, no matter what. Okay? For I have come down from heaven not to do my will. Well, that could open up a can of worms. Because for a long time, I lived my life to do my will. But then when he becomes the Lord of your life, it is no longer about me, myself, and I with the three gods that we worship. Okay? I talk about myself. But to do the will of him who sent me. Now, for a long time, I did not believe that I was sent. I didn't have that part of my agenda. I shared with you a little earlier about showing me that if I'm under the anointing of the Lord, I am doing the Son's work. Okay? That makes a difference, because now you know you're a tool for the glory of God, not for the glory of yourself. Okay? So, he said, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Well, again, you were sent here. You were in the heavenlies before you came into your mother's womb. Jeremiah chapter 1, I knew you before you were born. I knew that you would be this and this and this and this. And therefore, there's a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, God knows the plans he has for you. But if you're acting on your own, doing your own thing, which I did for a long time, I thought it was okay. Now I'm learning it wasn't okay. It was for then. Now he's got me on a different path where he wants me to go higher and to do his will rather than my own. Now, as soon as I make that kind of a commitment, I activate darkness. Literally, I just pushed on his button. And he's saying to himself, ha-ha, I'll get him or her before they get any stronger. So he's after you while you're weak. To any area that you're weak, he's going to push that button and push that button, and then he'll accuse you for the very weakness that's in you. Okay? So as soon as you say, I want to do what Papa says, who's your Heavenly Father, the Father of your spirit, you're actually entering a war zone. It's not like 9/11, because you don't see the planes coming. All you do is get the darts and the bombs. But they're just as destructive. Because it's not intending to kill on the spot. It's to torment you until you want to die. So depression is designed for you to do away with yourself. He tried it on me, and I could go on there, but I'm not going to right now. So, verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Could that be the seventh day? Could that be the day that the kingdom comes to life in the earth? And I listened to Johnny Enlow yesterday, which was kind of cool, because I enjoy the revelation that he gets, because it's not negative. It's telling you that around the corner, when the Lord deals with all these demon spirits that are ruling and reigning, that we're going to have an awesome, awesome Father God releasing his kingdom into the earth, and the Lord's Prayer going to finally get a reality check. The Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Now that's, I turned it around because the Lord told me it started in here. In my earth. Let your will be done in my earth before it gets done in this earth. So what is he after? He's after men and women that are committed to him to do the will of Papa, and that is establishing the kingdom in the earth. But it starts in his kingdom of love about you and me, loving us enough to come out of the darkness. And then enabling us to do the work, and he uses Holy Communion. Now you say, well, it could be ritualistic. You're right. It absolutely, in many cases, is. Oh, I can remember teaching fifth graders in the Catholic school. And the fifth graders, I asked them, because they all had their first communion, all right? They all had that experience. They all got dressed up in white, and they were perfect, and they went down the aisle and received. And so I asked them what they received, and one of the boys got up and said, well, we get the cookie. Well, now, you know, I didn't break out into laughter because that was not my experience when I had my first communion. But this kid was just, you know, flippant about it. There's no big deal if we get the cookie. And, you know, you get hungry next week, you get another one. That's pretty good, right? Solves all your problems. And you go back and do the same old thing week after week after week. Well, it becomes what? A ritual. It's no longer an encounter with life. Okay? So, watch 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him. Because he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They couldn't handle that. Yet, they believed about the ancestors who lived with manna for 40 years. So talk about stubborn people. By the way, we probably got more of those stubborn people in the earth now than they ever had. Okay? So it's not a judgment call. It's just to get you and me to think a little bit more about why we do certain things and what the encounter at the table is. Why do we go there? So, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? So they know about his family. They know about Papa Joseph. They know about Mary, Mama. They know about the kids. Who does he think he is? All right? And he responds, stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So he's actually saying to them, your grumbling is showing that you're not being drawn by God. You are of the adversary. Okay? And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Then he goes on, I tell you, he who believes has everlasting life. So believing is a part of the equation that you can't get away from. You have to come to the place where you choose to believe. Now I'm going to stop there at verse 47 for a moment. I told you about my background. My Holy Communion when I was a boy was very special. It was done not with the group because I had been sick. So I had my communion on another Sunday with my mom and dad. And that was an impact in me because I knew what the scriptures that they taught us was saying. So, basically, I had learned these things. Now, fast forward from a 7-year-old to, I would say, maybe 45-year-old. I'm at a conference down in South Carolina. My wife and I are early to go to the conference, so we decide to go to the chapel, the upper room, if you've ever been there. So we go to the upper room, her and I, and they have this huge big picnic table. It's as long as from here to Peter. And we sat at the benches because the pastor was saying, you know, we're going to take the elements and we're going to take communion. Well, you know, my thought is already in line, you know, this is going to be great. So we sat real close, and he started to do the elements, and then he said, "This is my body, which is given up for you." And then he said, "We do this in memory of." Well, he had already passed out the little tiny wafers, the little tiny piece of bread, and I'm holding it in my finger. And when he said, "We do this in memory of," I had a weird feeling inside. And so I said in my heart, "But for me, this is your flesh." That's what I said inside. The minute I said, "For me, this is your flesh," my finger and my thumb began to tickle and tingle, and it wouldn't stop, and I could feel it going up my arm and over into my heart, and now I am literally shaking because I know that I know that I know that this is his flesh. Okay? There's no more questions. I mean, I'm under the anointing, and I know what the anointing is like, and I'm just, ooh, this is awesome. And I don't want to take it because I don't want it to stop. You got it? That's how fleshy I was. So, I finally consumed it because now they're passing the little cups around and I don't want to miss on the cup. So they passed the cup around and obviously I held the little cup. There was a little bit of grape juice and I said, okay. And he said the same prayer, "This is my blood," and we do this in memory of him. Well, again, I'm not satisfied, okay? So I say in my heart, now I have no tingling going on, nothing. I mean, it's like I'm holding a cup, okay? The minute I said, "But for me, this is your blood," it reactivated what happened with the piece of bread. I mean, it literally, I could just feel it again. And of course, I'm holding it up and I'm trembling and I'm going to be, and I want to take it, but I don't want it to stop. I want that moment. Finally, I consumed it, and it went away. Fast forward maybe 2 or 3 years. So figure I'm 48, 49 years old. Gino, I'm working there full time. Gino decides that he's going to teach on Holy Communion. Now, I would take Holy Communion at Grace Church. I would also take it at the Catholic Church because I was in one of these roller coasters. So now he's beginning to teach us that we are priests of God, right from 1 Peter. And of course, now this is conflicting with my tradition. I mean, there's a war going on. All right? Anybody ever have a war? I had a war. So he says, your consecration is your agreement with God's word. Oh. Shake my head. This was on, I believe, one of the weekdays. So he said, you don't believe in your own words. So you need to get rid of your unbelief. Oh. So, he said, I'm telling you, you are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And he goes on in teaching about that. And my head is spinning. Going around and around and around. And I'll be honest with you, I felt a little bit like, you know, the giant getting hit by the stone from David. My giant of unbelief was dealt with that day because I went back in my office and I'm downstairs and the Lord said, you have already did the consecration. I said, I never did that. I never consecrated anything. Okay? Because that wasn't my role at the time. So now I'm sitting back in my chair, okay? And I hear, do you remember? And I got a flashback of Irene and I sitting at South Carolina on the little bench and my response, this is my flesh. This is my blood. And the tingling. And I began to weep. Because now my unbelief has been shattered. I have realized that I have the ability to do what I was told I was never allowed to do or never good enough to do. Because again, it's only for those that are chosen and ordained. What a wake-up call. Asked the Lord to forgive me. Went upstairs and talked to Gino within a few days. Told him I asked him to forgive me because I was judging him. I was angry. Because, oh, he's telling me something I'm supposed to do, and I don't think I can do it. The only problem was, is I didn't believe my own words had any effect. My words were useless compared to the other person, whoever that happened to be. Minister, priest, whatever. Bishop, you name it. So what was I doing? I was downing myself. And the enemy was having a nice field day because I wasn't believing what he said. So now, 48. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. Notice he's given you a choice. May eat. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Yet they knew what the Passover feast was like. And the Passover feast had to have the eating of the flesh of the lamb, and they had to use the blood on the doorpost in order to keep themselves from dying. So what they had done for hundreds and hundreds of years, they didn't believe. And they did it every single year. So now does that leave me off the hook? It puts me with them. It puts me with unbelief about what Jesus said to do and then to obey as the Holy Spirit gives you direction. Okay? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Say, ouch. Yeah. He's separating the goats from the sheep. Okay? The goats are always going to have attitude. But the sheep are going to say, whoa. The shepherd just spoke. Amen? So, Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Has. Meaning it's real. It's taking place. It's for me. It's the flesh. It's for me. It's the blood. It's not make-believe. It's not according to what they say. It's according to what I believe and what I say. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. So the harmony is at the table. That table could be your car taking the elements and believing. It could be you sitting at your desk or at your kitchen table. It could be me in the middle of the night, which usually that's what happens. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. So your life is going to be sustained when you take time to take the elements for yourself. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogues in Capernaum. And that's important, because that was church of that day. He was not teaching in the middle of the woods. He was teaching them in the temple area of Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" See, eating the lamb roasted on a spigot was acceptable, but they never connected him to the lamb. And I didn't either, so I'm not blaming them. But when God put me on the spot and identified my unbelief, I was able to deal with it by asking him to forgive me for my attitude and sometimes believing a lie, which somebody else can sometimes teach you something and you say, "Oh, that had to be true." Well, if it was true, it would match the word. And that's the trick. What is truth is in the word. And it will be confirmed to you. Okay? Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? Did you hear that? Yeah. How did he leave the earth? He ascended. We talked about that before service today. Uh-huh. See, it was already in his plan to teach you today. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. Even in the 12, there was a problem. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." So you've received grace to get you here today. And I pray that he'll give you grace to return again. Because again, what have we got? We got pieces to the puzzle. And the more we put the pieces to the puzzle together, eternal life will be a part of your everyday living. It won't be just part-time on Sunday morning. 66. From this time, of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon, Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Loud and clear. Loud and clear. Peter is boisterous. Sometimes he gets in trouble. But boy, is he on target this one, right? Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. Now, that's scary. You know why? Because did the other 11 realize that there was a demon? Their discernment wasn't there yet. Okay? They had not received the Holy Spirit at that point. See, Holy Spirit's going to identify things that you don't like. He's going to show you things about yourself that you don't like. He's going to show you things about him that you are able to come into life with. So that can make a big difference in how you control your life, how you go forward in your life, and how you operate by obedience to the best of your ability. So, he met Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. So he showed up his true colors later on. So what I'd like to do today is to have you lift your hands to him and say, Holy Spirit, you're working on me. You're getting rid of the unbelief. And I want to get rid of it. I want to truly understand that when I take Holy Communion, it's not a ritual. It's a reality check. I have a priesthood by my spirit which can declare the truth. I can take a piece of bread and declare it to be the flesh of our Savior. I can take a little and declare it to be the blood of the Lamb. It depends on my words. And do I believe those words? Or are they just rituals? I need to get rid of the rituals. And I sometimes can't do it on my own. So Holy Spirit, come in with me. With this agreement that the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ brings me eternal life. And when I drink that blood, and when I eat that flesh, I will have eternal life within me. Inside my very being. That blood will activate my blood. That flesh will activate my flesh. And I will not remain the same. Hallelujah. That's the bottom line. He wants to deliver me. And I want him to do it. In Jesus' name. Today's the day. Hallelujah. You're going to have to get yourself up and come with me. Those creaky bones, by the way, can be fed with this lubricant. Okay. Come on up. Come on a little closer. Normally, I don't allow this to go on the air, but I believe today this will go on. And I want you to just join hands with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We are one.
We are one.
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
We are one in the Lord.
We are one in the Lord.
And they'll know.
And they'll know.
We are Christians.
We are Christians.
By our
love.
How come you know that? Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And together we'll
someday be a sword.
We are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Even the missing words are cool, aren't they? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are the reason we're the season. You are the season of restoration that's going on in this nation right now. Father, there's healing that's needed across this land. There's healing for the broken. And Lord, we know that when we take this bread today and we put our hands towards the bread, say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
my hands are extended.
My hands are extended.
And I'm declaring,
and I am declaring
that bread is no longer bread.
It's no longer bread.
It is the flesh of my Savior Jesus.
It is the flesh of my Savior Jesus.
He was broken for me.
He was broken for me.
And he didn't do it in vain.
And he did not do it in vain.
Because I'm believing.
Because I'm believing.
I'm believing.
I'm believing.
That this flesh, when it comes into me, will bring life.
Will
bring eternal life.
Will bring eternal life
into every member of my body.
Into every member of my body.
Healing me.
Healing me.
Delivering me.
Delivering me.
Because he loves me.
Because he loves me.
Hallelujah.
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 I lift up the cup. Say it with me.
I lift up the cup.
And I declare it to be.
And I declare it to be.
The blood of the Lamb.
The blood of the Lamb.
Which washes away my sins.
Which washes away my sins.
All of it.
All of it.
Yesterday's.
Yesterday.
Today.
Today.
And tomorrow's sins.
And tomorrow's sins.
They're all covered under the blood.
They're all covered under the blood.
Therefore I'm righteous.
Therefore I'm righteous.
And I'm justified.
And I'm justified.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
All fear has to go.
All fear has to go.
All rejection has to go.
All rejection has to go.
Because he died for me.
Because he died for me.
And he chose me.
He chose me.
Hallelujah.
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 We take this for presidents and people that are in charge of this nation. And Lord, you're the only one that can put this thing to right. Lift it up. Bring it to the right place in Jesus' name. And let there be healing. In the people of our country, especially those who have served. Lord, those who have lost loved ones in 9/11. Let the victory come. Let the victory come. Let the victory come in Jesus' name. I take this for the parents, mothers and fathers who lost children.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Only God knows what that could feel like.
Only you, Lord.
And you can heal their hearts today.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Heal their hearts today.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name I pray. Jesus.
Thank you, Spirit, be sent.
Last but not least, I want to lift up the Taliban. I don't know how you're going to set them free, Lord. I have no clue how you're going to do that. But I know that your Holy Spirit can permeate the darkest man or woman.
Yes, it can, Lord.
And he can permeate them and deliver them from darkness, just like you've done with me. So it's not a judgment call against them. Father, you can take care of that entire nation. And flip them over like a pancake.
Yes, Lord.
Fill them with your love for each other so that the women can have a life.
Yes, Yes, Lord.
And that the young people cannot be used and abused anymore. Because there's so much abuse in that nation, Lord. But it is no exception. There's so much abuse here. So, Father, touch the children. Touch the moms and dads. Touch all of those in those nations that are struggling because they don't know the Lamb. In Jesus' name I pray. The table is open. Just obey.